Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
This is Tom Bowie filling in for Daniel Wilson. And today is Friday, July the 31st. Another fine show, and as I'm informed, apparently this is the 100th show. So hopefully it won't be too bad for 100. Got a, the story I'm going to start off with is about an anti-white. And the story appeared in Next Pittsburgh. According to Abby Wilson, the Deputy Director of the Department of Health's Bureau of Public Policy and Community Relations in Allegheny County, there are too many white people in Pittsburgh. She left Pittsburgh to work in South Africa and then study in the Netherlands, but now she's back and she wants to change it. She's quoted as saying, "My two main gripes about Pittsburgh, there are too many white people and not enough public transportation. The homogeneity and provincialism that accompany working here frustrates me at times." That's a somewhat interesting quote. And, of course, someone noticed that she said there were too many white people. So, another magazine decided to do a follow-up interview. The Trib Live. And, of course, they use "too many white people in Pittsburgh" with a question mark as the title of their story. And said that it was taken out of context. It was a bit of a slip, she told the Tribune. It's part of a much larger conversation. And then followed it up by saying there are too many white people is just another way of calling for diversity. Yeah. That's what's been said all along, or at least in recent times. It's been pointed out over and over that these calls for diversity are calls for less white people. This time, they pretty much said it themselves in a two parts. First stating there were too many white people in Pittsburgh. And then when called on that statement, saying it was just a politically correct way of calling for more diversity. So I'll take them at their word. Even on some level, no matter how they try and justify it or dance around the issues, that's what they mean by diversity. Less white people. And they want to change all of those white areas. Make them as diverse as possible, apparently. Apparently, Pittsburgh doesn't have enough crime as the vibrant Africa when she went there to work on the AIDS project. That was one of our credentials. They were doing a story on these well-accomplished people that returned to Pittsburgh. Well, her accomplishments apparently didn't teach her anything. Of course, these high-level mommy professors that go to work on AIDS projects or some such nonsense as that in Africa, they are somewhat sheltered from the reality of Africa. Chances are at least half of them, if you dropped them in real Africa, would, upon returning to Pittsburgh, would probably be upset, even if they wouldn't say it, that there were some black people in Pittsburgh having had their fill. But some people never learn. And apparently this is one of them. Oh, and I have Rich on the phone. Good evening, Rich. I think you're on the phone. I can just barely hear you. Okay. I'm not sure if it's an echo even of myself that I'm hearing or if I'm hearing you. Okay, it's an echo of myself. No, I don't think Rich has Donaldson's phone, but technology is like that.
Okay.
All right, love you, Papa.
Love you too. Catch you later.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hi, Tom.
Howdy.
I got a big old house full of people here.
Ah. They're happy first, that you finally returned.
Yeah, it's the first day back. Yeah, it's got a nice tea going here. Man, is it hot. It's in the 90s here right now.
Yeah, I figured it would be a shock for you. But there's one thing I must know. Did you make sure to bring your robe back with you? That $80 bathrobe.
Oh. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I used it sparingly. But yes, and I had it. It's wrapped. It's still in the luggage. It's wrapped around my laptop.
Mm.
I gotta get it out. So, yeah, I'm going to capitalize that robe right down to the end. I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to get my money's worth completely out of it. But I'm going to try.
Well, you could always be buried. Just an idea.
Yeah. So, lots of exciting stuff while I was up there in the Great White North. A lot of interesting news. Some of it good,
yeah,
some
news,
of it bad.
News cropping up everywhere. Did you hear the first two-part story I did?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
I was getting
connected. One of my big goals was to make your show,
I appreciate it. A government employee who's got a position with the government and has worked in different places around the world was featured in a news piece, and she said there was two things she would like to change about Pittsburgh. She had returned home. One is it needed more mass transportation, and the other, it had too many white people.
Oh, well, yeah. it's really astounding. You know, every day we hear something more and more anti-white.
Well, they verified the saying that diversity just means less white people.
Yeah.
Because apparently they got a few complaints about the story where she said there were too many white people in Pittsburgh. And so another online newspaper did a follow-up story. And they said that it was taken out of context, that what they mean is that it needs... there are too many white people, is that it needs more diversity.
Oh. Well, yeah. So they're not just out and out saying it yet, that, you know, it just basically means they want to chase us out.
Yeah, well and, that pretty much said it if you connect the dots.
Yeah.
There's too many white people. Need more diversity.
Yeah.
Of course, she will be getting paid for this.
Now, has anybody come up with this utopia, this implied utopia, where there are no white people? Has the world seen this yet?
Yes, it's been seen, and its practical version has been seen. It was called Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
When the Haitians staged their revolt, the first thing they did is kill every white person they could get their hands on.
Right.
Then they turned on all of the colors.
This isn't the first time around for Haiti, though. Didn't they do this a couple times?
Well, it's been done a couple of other places. Some of them you never hear about.
As it turned out, it was the white taxpayers that funded the reconstruction of Haiti and put in all of that infrastructure. Not just once, but twice that I know of, completely rebuilt the whole darn place, and then the Nigs came along and did what they do best, which is, you know, just basically destroy it.
Yeah, there's even a joke about that utopian world without any white people in relation to the Haitians. You're on an island with incredibly fertile land for growing crops, world renowned for it. The ocean surrounding you is teeming with easily available fish, and you're starving. Who are you? And the reply to it was, you're a Haitian.
Right.
One of the other places that got a dose of diversity, believe it or not, is Easter Island. The first ship to find Easter Island, in their log, they reported that there were two white people there. They were the only two surviving whites. They browned out.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Now, I thought the island was pretty much deserted, bare.
Well, all the Easter Island areas.
Yeah.
There were two whites living amongst the brown people.
Huh.
But there was some good news while you were gone. Or there's some good news recently. Thousands join an anti-Islamification protest in Bratislava, Slovakia. Dozens arrested. That was the title. It comes from Russia Today. But they carried protest signs that said, Slovakia to Slovakians, stop Islamization in Europe. Hmm. They seem serious. And it's given the anti-whites running things apparently a little bit of fit, because they've said that they're not ready for migration yet. They were pushing it up until they saw that, and they decided they're not ready for migration yet.
Huh.
I guess they decided those people were a little too serious for them. So at least that's a step in the right direction. Of course, there's been bad news, too. A story from Freya Teeter. Pictures of white male professors taken down was replaced by diversity paintings. The Faculty of Law at Stockholm University has decided to replace all the artwork in the faculty room and the courtroom. The reason is that the paintings depict old white male professors and therefore do not live up to the faculty's new diversity requirements.
Oh, that's pretty creative, huh?
Yeah. You know, there's some ray of sunshine in that. There's no group has done more to promote this stuff than those professors. And now their pictures are being removed prior to their removal, I guess.
Yeah.
So at least it's biting them in the backside to some extent. And I always look for the sunny side in that. The fellow who did it is during his time as dean, committed to introduce various types of politically correct arrangement for the faculty, adopted a plan that establishes that the faculty activity should be characterized by diversity, openness, and tolerance. Also has a diversity project which aims to reduce the portion of Swedes among law students. Hmm. And his statement is, lawyers are overrepresented in society's various spheres of power And it is important that the legal profession reflects how society looks like. It also required diversity among the students of law program.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would want a diverse lawyer.
Well, no.
Well, as a matter of fact, if I had a diverse lawyer, I know whose side he would be on. As soon as he called me a racist Klansman Nazi.
Right.
We'll get right. You off with a quick electrocution. Oh, thanks, Leroy.
Yeah, well, that isn't how it can go down, though. You know, Leroy will act like he's all on your side, and, you know, your legal proclivities don't affect him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he'll take all your money, and when he gets a chance, then he'll really stick it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I won't get no grants for my defense from the NAACP or nothing like that, I don't guess.
Well, one thing that I was in a position to sort of observe with all of the aliens that the fishing industry brings in, and that is that you know, there's no denying race, and there's no denying the fact that racial people, no matter how friendly they are to everyone else, they actually prefer each other's company. And I don't think you're ever going to get away from that. No matter, how much they preach in school, you know, and they get these, well, especially the brainwashed whites that are, you know, full on board with, race doesn't mean anything and blah, 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 blah. But you see it when you get groups of racial people together, you know, they're out for themselves. They're out for their own people, and they're very cohesive. And you know they might act friendly and cordial and polite and all of that, but it's all an act. You know, it goes against their fundamental nature.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of hardwired that way. They've actually studied the brain of humans, and one thing they studied was facial recognition. Our brains are designed, all humans, no matter where or what. And at least the higher primates they've studied seem to have this too. They're better able to do facial recognition among those who are related to them in some way, even if it's a distant relation. In other words, science has proved that they all do look alike to a certain degree.
Well, it's how this plays out. Do you think there's any doubt that the push towards a race war is some kind of myth? You see it constantly, and more so. Where you have black on white attacks. And the law says, well, you know, those people were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. You know, even if they were home, you know, there is no parity. There's They are full on board, full out attacking the white race.
I don't think they want a real race war. They stoke ethnic conflict, but they do not want an actual race war. At least not those at the top. You also have these useful idiots that they put on the news that really don't know any better and can't help themselves, that may go too far and cause a race war. But in my view, if only 2% of white Americans participate in that race war, it'll be over in under 2 weeks.
I think you're kind of taking the idealists, you know.
No, I don't, because when those Twin Towers got hit on 9/11, it took those construction companies quite a while to get into the ability to start moving the rubble, because all of the Mexican labor they had been counting on was suddenly gone. They had made a run for the border. The free ride was over. They had a place to go. That's the one thing about an ethnic conflict. They're not here, at least not most of them, for anything other than the free ride. And when the free ride turns into bombs and bullets and you ain't getting nothing, they'll leave, the majority. There'll be some that stay and fight. But the majority, they're going to do like Taco Bell advises and make a run for the border.
Yeah.
And I think...
What about the blacks and then the anti-whites, the white anti-whites? Where are they going to run to?
The blacks probably won't be too much of an obstacle unless you're surrounded by them. Let's face it, they've been carefully controlled because they don't keep very good organization.
Right.
The white anti-whites will, in fact, be the toughest part of the dilemma.
Yeah, the communists, the supported communists.
Yeah, but a lot of them, remember what a lot of them are. They're homosexuals, transvestites, feminists, and... the largest portion are just plain parasites.
Well, you're kind of looking at a matter of fact.
I tell you what, arrange that preview battle between me, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity, and a few others in advance.
Yeah.
I think I can take a dozen or so of them.
you're gonna have to mute me here for a little bit. I got a house full. I gotta pay attention to. So
okay.
I'm gonna put you on the speakers.
Okay.
And, maybe jump back in a little later. Good talking to you, Tom. I hope this is the first of a lot of good conversations.
Yes, we'll be doing this Tuesday, won't we?
We sure will.
Well, Rich is back in the sweltering 90-degree heat of Washington State. And I understand everybody in the area's happiness that their community is back together again. But I'm going to continue in the line I was going. I don't think the anti-whites at the top really want a full-blown race war. I'm sure they're thrilled when white people are killed. They might want some conflict. An ethnic conflict model like they've been running has always served their interests to some degree. It helps take your attention away from the problem, the heart of the problem. The average person who lives in a diverse area, be they blacks, Mexicans, or whatever, they spend a lot more time talking about that than anything else, than looking at that than anything else. They live in it. It helps distract from the people at the top. That's actually the purpose of an ethnic conflict model. Ethnic conflict is very old, and it's been used before. And in this case, it's being used very extensively. And it's going to be, well, it's been used to distract us until the message sank home and most people had hunkered down to put up with it. But now, for some reason, they're in a rush, a full court press to get their deal done, and they're just flooding our countries as fast as they can. That means something has happened. Something has put a clock on their head. If you're under a time limit, you got problems. And I would say the reason they're under a time limit is because white people are waking up. For whatever reason, when you get white people waking up, I think that's a bad time for the anti-whites. And those people at the top, yeah. Well, in another article I've stumbled across, from The Guardian, the world's first non-white modeling agency, a true celebration of diversity. The article reads, launched in London a year ago, Lord boasts a catalog of models of color who challenge the fashion industry's bias towards Caucasian looks. Well, the article goes on, looking at the model on Lord's Inc. website, the first thing that strikes you is that these people are, to put it in Zoolander's words, really, really good looking. Ornello has long plaits and a gap between her teeth. Mohammed is all chocolate eyes and wavy locks. And Yajiri is cheekbones and expressive stare. The second thing, none of the models, about 60 in all, are white. I'm going to post a link to this. But don't let the words of the article fool you. If you look at that website, squint a little bit and open your eyes slowly, what they're calling a model, oh boy, you look at those faces all at once with your eyes wide open, and it may not be good for your health. I wonder what they'd have to say if someone did the reverse. Well, we already know what they'd have to say if someone did the reverse and called for a all-white modeling agency. But yeah, that's what they're claiming is good looks, apparently. At least by the standards of diversity. Diversity is what it is. OC Weekly. And they have a story from California. Story is entitled White Supremacist Stickers Found on Electric Box in Yorba Linda. The story goes on. If you told me to guess in which city white power stickers found on an electric box, I'd most likely say Yorba Linda. Huntington Beach gets all the infamy for its neo-Nazi losers. But the weekly most ran out of those idiots to Malfi's last decade. Nowadays, the newer generation of GABA racists tend to live in majority white neighborhoods that are wealthy, but not Coto de Casa wealthy, and slowly diversifying. In other words, Yorba Linda. Well, the two stickers they're going on about is one that says diversity is a code word for hashtag white genocide. And another one that kind of amuses me, it's a Children of the Rainbow sticker with the anti-racist Hitler picture on it. The smiley face with the rainbow mustache. Of course, not knowing what they're talking about, they put their spin on it. And of course, they go on to even say it's almost as bad as the Confederate flag. Yep, that flag apparently is too white, so they're going to have to say something negative about that. I don't know what's wrong with anti-racist Hitler. He says everything. The liberals say, as a matter of fact, every one of the words that comes out of his mouth in that video, in that little, at a little over 10-minute cartoon, is something that a liberal has said from beginning to end. And if they think that's a horrible cartoon, well, they should know. They're the ones that issued those statements, up to and including his final statement, which is, well, nobody could have foreseen that happening. And that statement was taken from California when they were told if they kept importing the Mexicans, it would become non-white, majority non-white. After accusing them of being tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists, they proceeded with their program. They made all their sanctuary cities. And as that county became majority non-white, and they were questioned on it, that was their statement. Who could have foreseen that happening? No apology, of course. But it didn't expect an apology. Everybody who said the government was spying on people was always called a conspiracy theorist, always accused of wearing a tinfoil hat, called all sorts of hard things. And when it came out that they really were doing it, or at least collecting the information, they really can't look at it, none of the people who made those statements ever alluded to the fact that they had been warned. They didn't just fail to issue an apology. They pretended like it came as a complete shock to them, but it was perfectly okay and for their own good. I got an idea, half of them, at least half, were dumb enough to think all of that is for their own good. And the other half was probably just too cowardly to express any concern over it. After all, they're getting a paycheck, say the party line, and that might endanger that cash cow they've been milking. That includes liberals and respectable conservatives. Any and all of the above. Once they finish making their profit, they hope to retire out of it. Along the way, they want to make sure every place is as non-white as possible. The cuck meme. Cuckservative. Yes, I've heard the cuck meme. Apparently, cuckold is a term referring to, someone whose wife cheats around on him a bit. Gets no respect. And the conservatives, their support base doesn't really support them. That's in part what it is. It doesn't support white people. It's become readily known that that's who their support base is, even though they don't like to admit it. And their support base doesn't support them all that much. They would like an actual conservative. Of course, a few of the respectable conservatives I've seen actually call it racist, which gets kind of silly. It doesn't get a whole lot of traction. Because all of them that have primarily come out condemning it loudly as racist are white. You don't really get to look good if you're a white elite saying that other whites are racist. particularly in the general population who isn't sure what the term means or who is using it. And you see some lily-white race trader shouting that those are white supremacists and racist. They just look stupid. I think in large part, those things catch on because they're telling somewhat of a truth and it's hurting. Anything that makes those people wail and bellyache is probably a good name for them. If they're going to complain about it, it's going to get used. And it's getting used. Heck, if it gets used enough, they might call each other conservatives. Besides, maybe it's getting a little extra use because it kind of sounds like something I've heard them called before. That wasn't quite as polite as this term. Heard them called that quite a few times. And at least in a few cases, like Lindsey Graham, they're probably fairly close to the mark. Oh, heck, with Lindsey Graham, they're probably 100% on mark. Like a laser-guided missile. Of course, none of them dare talk about his unswerving support for that marvelous little place in the Middle East, is of Israel. And that anybody who questions that, he's got to fit your hissy fit. That's the one thing they won't cover for some time. At least not until they start looking behind the scenes a bit, I guess. But there are terms that come and go. This one's come and stayed around long enough that it's fairly valuable. As long as people use it and continue to use it, it'll grow in popularity. I can remember for a time when Wendy's put out a commercial, and you could hardly go anywhere for any length of time without somebody using the line from their commercial, "Where's the beef?" According to the ad people, there was a heated debate over whether that was a good selling tool. Well, if people are repeating it, it's a good selling tool. And the fact that McDonald's and Burger King and all those places lost a little bit of market share sort of reinforces that it was a good selling tool. Yep. But I like that little tool they use. I have a, since we're on that topic, I have a article I'll read from mindvoke.com. Entitled, "The Con of Cuckservatism." Mention the hashtag cuckservative meme to a Republican, and their heads begin to spin, and the backpedaling begins. it is quite strange that they seem to worry about being pro-white when the majority of their constituents that vote them into power are white. They're distancing themselves further from the people they supposedly represent through their cuckoldry. The conservative Republicans have turned their backs on true conservatives and lack any testicular fortitude to stand up and come out of their slumber of political correctness and equality that is ruining Western society through forced immigration and forced assimilation. Mike Enoch from the Daily Shoah sums it up about where the conservatives have lost and why they will continue to be whiny shills that cater to everything except true conservatism. And they give a definition of conservative. Noun, a white conservative who is race-cucking his own people by being too cowardly to stand up for his own race and by promoting politics detrimental to whites. And the story then quotes Mike Enoch from the Daily Caller. Look, you guys have lost. Even on the issues important to you as Christians, because of your cuckoldry on the race issue, you're not doing anything to preserve the white majority, but you're not winning on your issues either. Gay marriage is a done deal. Abortion is here to stay, particularly as more broken non-white families enter the social service system and are encouraged by bureaucrats to abort. You lost, you lost, you lost. With a white majority, these issues were winnable because white vote conservatives in the majority. But by being cowards on the issue of immigration and bending over for the left's quite open plan of demographic replacement of whites in order to secure a permanent, non-white, left-wing majority, you lost it. In 8 years, it may be demographically impossible for the GOP to win a national election ever again. Even your precious Christian issues are done. Even your cucking for Israel is under threat. Do you think a non-white majority in the U.S. is going to be keen to support your favorite ethnostate? They side with the Palestinians. You lost everything, and all because you are afraid of a group of communists, atheists, homosexuals would call you racist. Well, he's got a lot of that right. Terrified of such little words. All the little words that they enforce through political correctness. At least they're getting a taste of it back at them. The same as those university professors in Stockholm that preached diversity. They're tearing their pictures down to put up diverse ones. In this case, however, they'll just tear the Republican Party down to, put up nothing. Of course, they might start scrapping amongst one another. They might react, so desperately that they start calling for diversity, but it's the other senator who needs a diverse candidate, not their Senate race. be a cat fight, so to say. Although, these will be some sickly kittens in this fight, desperately calling for diversity in the other senatorial race. That's the thing about the term I've heard reply to them, like John McCain, called a Lone Ranger. In political terms, the Lone Ranger is somebody who can't do without his little Tontos, i.e. his little non-whites. But once they get enough non-whites, they're done. They can't exist on the UN bus because all those little Tontos, they want another Tonto to lead them. And that's what they go for. A nice another little Tonto. And the John McCains are finished. They pretty much got that right. John McCain, I don't think he can pull off that he's the great Lone Ranger for too much longer, even with voter fraud. Who knows, maybe he'll run for president again, produce another lackluster performance in that. That was the only thing I will remember him for is his being a Lone Ranger and coming out on stage like a zombie up until there was no possibility of him actually winning the election, and then he trotted out on stage with vim and vigor calling himself the next president. That'll work, right? We have produced what we've produced, pretty much. We've sat back for a long time. And, we didn't understand. Often with the in the old days before the internet, we didn't get healthy news then, and we may have thought it was only in our area that was turning this bad, or only in certain areas. You get the internet and you find out it's global. Communism failed because it was silly. Respectable conservatives, they like to say it was unworkable. It wasn't just unworkable, it was silly. And any place it took hold from the place it started. The leftist useful idiots were always backed by the Soviet Union, and each country it assimilated. None of them spontaneously became communists, no white country at any rate. China, to some extent, did become communist on its own. There's always somebody in the background financing it. Toucan, we went communist about 100 years ago. Well, we got on that path. I wouldn't call it communism. I would call it second-generation communism, because first-generation communists designed it. So the first generations who didn't think their first-generation communism went far enough. But we get the same things they got in there to a large extent, just a little more gradual. And we get the illusion of a two-party system for now. Although it's a little hard to dig up. the Communist Manifest, the Communist Constitution of the USSR promised all sorts of guarantees and liberties that were so fabulous it made the Constitution seem almost draconian by comparison. That's what their Constitution promised. Well, all the promises in the world don't matter depending on who interprets that document. And, of course, Stalin and his crew interpreted those meanings. In our case, what the Constitution we have is some people in black robes called the Supreme Court. They will interpret it to mean anything they want it to mean. And I see a little news from a Georgia white farmer. They're having a pro-Confederate flag protest at Stone Mountain Park, Georgia, Saturday, expecting over 1,000 people. All good white people are welcome. Yes. That's another sign of the times. They overreacted to something. They got overreaching. And they decided to go against a white flag, and it's turned around and biting them in the backside to some extent. So anytime they want to step up and make mistakes, that's fine. A lot of people think our enemy is perfect. Well, this is just one of many mistakes. It's whether or not how long it sticks. They make mistakes all the time. Nobody's perfect. But they've only won by persistence. And trying everything they think will work. If one thing doesn't work, they keep trying it until it does work. This is the first push to get rid of the Confederate flag. And it's probably not going to go quite as well as they hoped it would. If they get pushed off, they fostered the idea in everybody's mind. And they'll come after it again at the earliest opportunity, at the earliest crisis, real or manufactured. That's how the persistence has paid off. Everything they've tried to do has been a failure. Well, not everything, but most things. Enough to call it that for practical purposes of discussion. Some of them have been horrible failures repeatedly, but they eventually got them passed. How many years did it take for them to get homosexual sodomite marriage approved? How many failures did they have? There's a limit how fast they can push, and they know that. But it took them quite a few tries. The fact that it was going to happen inevitably, yeah, I pretty much reconciled myself to that fact a long time ago because they were persistent. And no one was being persistent enough to push it back continually. I expect everything we do to hold the line will be just that, hold the line for a while. But I also have perhaps more than a little optimism in our race. And I see them getting fed up with simply holding the line long enough for one of the conservatives to sell us out. They might start demanding a little more of that line back. Because a compromise is always in one direction. And I think everybody sees that. A respectable conservative is, well, he's respectable first and a traitor second, I would say. And the respect he wants is from the liberals, something that can't give him respect. They hate his guts. And as they slowly wind down and lose more and more power, they'll get more desperate to appease their counterparts. And at least they're coming out with it. The fact that a term like conservative has become semi-mainstream, that's pretty much a good thing in my view. And I have a piece that's completely off topic by Thomas Goodrich. And it's called Cyber War. Anyone who has posted a political thought on a message board recently soon becomes aware that a raging cyber war is being waged for the hearts and minds of we suckers out there. If the subject of a post touches upon race or Jews or Israel, or whether we need to fill more American body bags simply to make the world a bit safer for God's chosen murderers in the Middle East, very quickly one realizes that there is a concerted effort to attack everyone and anyone who does not toe the Jewish party line on this board or that board. Much or most of this orchestrated pro-Israel activity comes from an entity known as Hasbara. This Jewish organization, nominally funded by Israel, but fully funded, in fact, by who else? Yes, that's right, Uncle Sugar and his slaving taxpayers is an unabashed attempt to flood message boards with hundreds of pro-Israel, pro-Jewish comments, and thus kill all debate. Because so many of these hired haters speak and write plausible English, the hope is to create the illusion of an American consensus for whatever anti-peace, pro-war policy Israel is backing that particular day. Recently, the Jewish cyber focus was on Russia and Vlad Putin and Israel's attempt to stoke a war between the U.S. and Russia. Jews have never forgiven Putin, the new Hitler, and Russia, the new Third Reich, for putting the kibosh on their murderous plans for Syria and Iran a few years back, after the CIA Mossad manufactured a breathless report stating that Assad was gassing his own people. These hundreds, thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of Jewish cyber warriors are always very careful never to identify themselves as Israelis or American Jews. Instead, they write and even imply that they are your average Joe Sixpack Republican from Indiana or Idaho, who is a red, white, and blue through and through American who is just tickled silly to fight and die in the nonstop Middle East wars, fought for greater Israel, and who thinks that our trillions of dollars to Israel is money well spent. If one is unfamiliar with the Hasbara folks, there are some quick rules of thumb on how to identify them. Since they are apparently being paid by the number of comments they post, and because they are always running from message board to message boards, generally they post only a line or two and never anything in depth. Because they're in such a rush, there is no room for serious debate on a subject. Because of A and B, a Hasbara's comments usually devolve down to slurs, insults, name-calling, and in keeping with the Jewish character and its fixation on matters carnal, some slinging of psychosexual imagery, i.e. very vile, filthy stuff about incest, bestiality, masturbation, goat sex, etc. Anyway, since I am at heart am a collector, I have collected stamps, Olympic stick pins, collected odd or shocking surnames. I have amassed a number of comments on message boards that your fellow truthers have fired off in their fight with these Hasbara trolls. Below pretty much sums as up as they appeared. You will find a few of these comments. Some are quite hilarious. Some are spot on. All are angry. By the way, please feel free to cut and paste any of these the next time you see someone arguing for World War III with Russia, or the next time you read that someone thinks the U.S. should nuke Iran, or perhaps the next time someone argues that Israel is Uncle Stupid's only real ally in the Middle East. Then you are armed to respond. Odds are, if you encounter any of the above, or if you run into any white, anti-gun, pro-minority, pro-migrant comments on the boards, then these are clear indications that Jewish cyber termites are hard at work. Become a Hasbara hunter. Unlike our opponents, Hasbara hunters, known among the select as 88s, do not get paid a dime for their efforts, but they do have a pretty big gun in their arsenal. The Hasbara Jew calls it hate, racism, bigotry, and anti-Semitism. We whites call it truth. And I'll post a link to that article. Mr. Goodrich has a fairly good site over there. It's not always racial. And, but in general, he does a pretty fair job. He has a few witty comments. He always adds to his stories. And quite a prolific writer. And you can tell he's a white writer. He actually does a good job with his spelling. Lord knows the mainstream media could use even a lesson on that. Give them a little, well, I guess credibility wouldn't be the quite the right word, no matter how carefully spelled or worded their articles are. There'd still be a pack of lies. But such is what it is. These, as the old saying goes, we do live in interesting times. And that was originally intended, I'm told, to be a curse. Well, I guess it is, in some ways. But I still believe we're going to come through it. I still believe our young people have yet to be heard from in their fullest. And I sort of envy them. Although they're going to have hard times ahead, I believe they're going to create that new world and put this old one to rest once and for all. They're going to get to see the start of a new future. And that's what I envy them for. Burying this old one is probably a good idea. Bury it deep and do the same thing our enemies would like to do to us. They want to take away every vestige of who we are. Confederate flag, the rebel flag. That's just one of the things they want to put in the dustbin of history. Our great leaders from that time, they want to put in the dustbin of history. Erase it from history. They want to erase everyone and everything that is white or associated with being white from the face of the earth. For the white anti-whites, maybe they need the same in return. They'd get it regardless. For a few creature comforts in the here and now, they sold out their future. They didn't just sell their soul for 30 pieces of silver. They sold the future along with it, or at least attempted to. Without a backward glance. And in today's economy, well, 30 pieces of silver doesn't go all that far. They sold out cheap. It should have at least garnered enough self-respect to hold out for a couple nuggets of gold rather than some silver coins. Then they might have had a nest egg. That's another thing that needs to be relegated to the dustbin. Any nest eggs they've put away. Of course, with them, that would be the biggest. harm you could do. After all, they sold out cheap. No, Pastor Lynn said, I'm not sounding apocalyptic. I don't say it's going to be good times. I actually say they're going to keep most things intact, but I'm not going to predict the future. I don't believe in things collapsing unless whites say it should. I think that's the ones who will get to do that history. They might decide to collapse it because there might be, they might figure it's no other way. But it'll be white's decision. And the dust heaps of history, well, that's what our enemy needs to go. At least in the majority. I guess we need to make sure we don't repeat these mistakes. And at least keep enough memory of it in books to study it and prevent it from happening again. The universe is such that if we were on a planet that was full of nothing but white people, sooner or later an enemy would come from somewhere, somehow. That's just the nature of the universe. And we'd have to fight. Well, yes. I'll even say it to you. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, hello. I'll just list your monologue.
Yeah, I will admit if whites want a future that... well, at some point there will be some violence. How much is up to whites? How much they want.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. There was a blog by this alt-right blog spot or something like that, which pretty well said the same thing, as that, you know, he believes that even if whites were only 25% of the population of future Zog Babylon, they still could go ahead and win. And I've said, you know, I agree with a number of other things. I mean, pretty much what we're doing is what, just like 4 years ago, it was anybody but mittens. Now it's anybody but jib. And, you know, pretty well even Democrats are realizing, does any of us want this bitch in charge? Does any of us want this bitch, you know, in power? And I was looking for, you know, I do read Andre the Nigger's Daily Spermer. I don't think he writes that stuff, you know, that gets put up there. But, you know, pretty well this conservative meme, it's just total ridicule. It's just total ridicule and pointing out that these establishment Republicans are essentially, you know, trying to cornhole their base. And people are looking at and they're repeating it. Look at the conservative. Look at the conservative. Look at the conservative. And essentially, all they're reduced to doing is saying no, 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 no. And in the meantime, there really isn't any really mainstream media. There's not really any juice papers which are in good shape anymore. So now it's devolved into blogs, and so as a result, you end up having, say, the Daily Spermer. You end up having, say, Occidental Dissent, although I think that is, you know, the League of Conservative, you know, citizens here as well. And so what you have is that you don't have any
you don't have any, oh, you don't have anything whole or anything that really matters on the other side. And that's why in the time that I've been in the movement, it's basically, you know, I pointed out that since you don't have anything to build on, since you don't have anything to create, on one of my shows, you know, one of these characters came up to where some guy called Carl from Alabama called in to Milton Munster Don Black bitching about how he had betrayed Edgar Steele. And Don Black said, "Well, he was calling his little Ukrainian honey and all that sort of, you know, stupid crap." Well, there's a lot more evidence that his buddy David Duck went ahead and, you know, accepted gambling money and gambled it away. And, you know, he pled guilty and he took his, prison term here. And essentially, you end up having to where there isn't any establishment which has any moral legitimacy, which has any, you know, which has any ability. So what I see is I do see things breaking apart. I do see things balkanizing. I see more and more lawlessness and overt lawlessness, and I don't see the ability to enforce their will. Obongo is not a Joseph Stalin. He's not a Mao Zedong. He's not a Pol Pot. And usually when you end up having revolutions, those revolutions do eat up, you know, not only their own and their own children, but they pretty well sweep everything away. And then the end result of that revolution is, say, an Oliver Cromwell or a Napoleon or a Lenin followed by a Stalin or by a Mao Zedong or a Pol Pot. Essentially a dictatorship for all practical purposes here. So, you know, I have read books like this. I think his name was Anthony Briand. He was a Frenchman who wrote a book, I think, in the 40s or 50s called, I think it was the 1950s, called Anatomy of Revolution. And they were looking at the revolution starting with the one against Charles I and going through the French Revolution, certainly, and the Russian Revolution and the Nazi Revolution, like he called it. And, you know, generally this conservative meme, you know, really the media really isn't at all, like Time or in the case of Jews Week, it stopped publishing, was taken over by a liberal blog called the Daily Beast. And now they're maybe printing some, you know, Newsweek, you know, magazines or something up like now, but essentially it's all become really based upon the internet. And as a result, you see these kosher Republicans, you know, they're being ridiculed, they're being undercut, they're being saying, why should white people vote for you? Why should they vote for you if you're just going to support the Jews and support a Jewish racial, you know, ethnostate, and you allow white people to have it? Why are you talking about letting in all these damn beaners? What the hell are they doing? And as a result, Donald Trump, he's not a savior. He's essentially a bull in China closet who is acting like a battering ram for critters like Andre the Nigger and the rest, I think, of the false fronts. Essentially, you do have all this collapse. You have just simply a hollowed-out shell. And I was listening to your little monologue, and when you start talking about the ash heaps of history, I mean, I know exactly what the hell you're talking about, because I used that term, 10, 15 years ago, the ash heaps of history.
I usually use the dustbin, but it's the same thing.
Okay, yes, I usually call it the ass heaps of history, but, you know, pretty well had this debate with Edgar Steele. He sent me out his book, Defense of Racism. He said, for an honest review, Martin. And I gave him an honest review. I called him the Wigger Whimper. I said, you're whipping up them Wiggers, but they're not the ones who are going to go ahead and kill Jews and kill niggers. And, says, by all means, whip up the Wiggers. But, I sort of compared it to a cow chasing its tail. You heard of a dog chasing its tail. Well, I've usually compared it to a cow chasing its shit-encrusted tail here. I guess it got mad cow disease or something. But, when I hear you talking about the ass, not the ass heap, but the dustbin of history or the end of, mighty evil empires, why, I hear you saying stuff that I've written 10 or 15 years ago. So maybe what you're going to see is that maybe you are sort of looking yourself for an apocalypse. I mean, that's what I see. I got a Kindle and I've been looking at these free Kindle books. They're selling them, free or something like that, cheap. About a year ago or so, Billy Roper was talking about spending a bunch of money writing his first book. And I says, go to Kindle, go on Kindle Direct Publishing, and essentially publish, just go ahead and put it out as an ebook. And then once it gets out as an ebook, you'll have all your friends, all the rest of them who'll buy it. They'll tell you what you did wrong with it. And then you can maybe, for the older bunch who wants to read it, you can go ahead and then do a print on demand with Kindle's CreateSpace or something like that here. So, in any case, I gotta go ahead and answer a call here real quick.
All righty. I'll put you back on mute for a while. Yeah, I'm pretty much understand how things can work. I hear someone, I was just told, says even at 25%, whites could still win, and I can't disagree with that. At 20%, provided most of them are pro-white and not traitors, I believe they could not only win, if they wanted to, they could pretty much take the rest of the planet if they wanted them. Not that I think they would want the rest of the planet. From wooden sailing ships, we were spread out all across the top of the planet for the most part. They just waltzed in and did it. The royal families, the current royal families, well, they've sold us out in recent times. And now they have these wars they would like to be fought. And they don't have that white army like they used to, or a white people to back them up. That's probably not a good thing for their wars. Because if you don't have your, red coat army, your white armies, you don't have as great of a power. It's still mostly white. At least the fighting part is. But they don't have the same army. They're relying more on technology because they have less white. Yeah, they have to use technology to fill in the gaps where they put diversity. They're weak links. It's always been their weak link. the plan with bringing about diversity? It's self-destructive. I've even heard a few of them discuss that they don't have time to get their deal done. They probably don't realize what they're saying most of the time when they say this. They see things turning bad. They wanted a pretty much non-white society, this diverse utopia they dream of. And everything's collapsing. And they don't understand that that's why it's going downhill. They also don't understand that those angry white people are what they should be more worried about, because they might demand it back. If they demand it back, they get it. Not a case of writing a letter, "Would you please give our nations back?" It's just them demanding it back. When the Soviet Union came apart, those communist leaders suddenly decided they didn't like communism either, or at least they said so. They loved being on top is probably the fact. They also probably remembered the history of the French Revolution, or the French Revolt, and decided they didn't want to test out Russia's ability to operate guillotines. I think every leader who's running a scam on their people in white countries understands that lesson. The unfortunate thing I saw about the fall of the Soviet Union is those former leaders, many of them, who were happy to sell out their people. There were no repercussions for most of them. They just wanted to get over it. We reached that point. That's why I always promote going after the money. Norman Finkelstein's little term was about the Holocaust industry. They don't go after people. Those 90-year-old men who were cooks at a so-called death camp for anything other than the money. That's a huge cash reward involved. In the future, these a lot of people have gotten rich off of this anti-white program of white genocide. Well, financial rewards work. The IRS is a vicious organization. Put them in charge. You'll have them waking up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. Not just them. You can't go after descendants of people who invested in this, who made a profit off of our suffering. But if the money still exists, the fortune still exists, you can go after that. You'll have people waking up in a cold sweat, wondering what their limousine great-great-grandfather did that could have the IRS at their door in the morning. As long as you have an industry like that, this doesn't happen again. The same con played again, because it'll be fresh in everybody's mind what happened the last time. Most money isn't even printed anymore. They've put so much into circulation, they actually can't print all of it. So we're talking big money, particularly with these corporations. Big enough money that even at the onset, you could literally pay off what they call the national debt if they wanted to. And this money could be used to teach about it, to promote whites to have children, to ensure that it's not forgotten. A system of financial incentives lasts at least 200 years. 200-year breathing space. 200 years, we can accomplish a lot. Probably more than we realize today. And while I'm criticized of looking backwards at times, there was a little country about the size of Texas that started to unleash their potential without being held back. Germany. And boy, did they unleash their potential. That was what one small country did in a relatively short time. I really don't know what we'd do in 200 years. I think it would astound even the wildest science fiction writers there are. I don't think any of them in their imaginations could come up with anything that didn't fall far short of how much we'd come into. I'm corrected. Texas isn't near the size. Germany isn't near the size of Texas. More like 2/3 of Oregon. Okay, that was Pastor Lindstedt who let me know that. Just checking to see if you're done with your line. If you are, just let me know and I'll put you back on. I think he's still busy talking, but he can type and talk at the same time, apparently. Something I have trouble doing. Okay. There we go.
I was stationed in Germany, in the nuclear missile battalion for 19 months, and pretty well, at that time it was just West Germany, but they said that Germany was, Germany at its best was what? Oh, less than the size of Oregon in terms of square miles. And that's back when they had about a third of Poland, thanks to Frederick the Great and Maria Theresa and I think one of the Russian czars cutting off, Catherine the Great cut off, essentially they dismembered Poland into three parts, and pretty well the Schmidt side of the family, they were, their joke was that Asia begins on the east bank of the Oder, but the joke was sort of on them because they lived 8 miles inside the Oder in Poznan province here, around Friedan Road. And anyway, when I was there, we went to, quote, turtle school. Essentially, when you are a newbie to the unit, you spend the first week in orientation, and part of the things you do for a first week or two, you take introductory German, which most of them don't learn, and you learn a little bit of, you know, how to get along with the, you know, with the people of Germany. You know, you do the same thing in Crete here. Why, you know, they told us when we would fire a missile at Crete to never refer to a Greek as a turkey. That is fighting words. You know what I mean? And they told us a few hand gestures to never use as well. You know, so pretty well since it was a, you know, and pretty well what they said is that Germany, even at its biggest, was less than the size of Oregon. And pretty well the Western, you know, West Germany, which comprised the British, the United States, and France, you know, as opposed to Germany, it was divided into what? You know, Russia got a third, you know, Russia got a third, essentially the British, the United States, and the French got, what, two-thirds? And essentially we're talking about how Germany was less than the size of, you know, was really less than the size of Oregon. I don't think it's even the size of Oregon when it's all together. I mean, you get on a, you know, I've been to Texas. I've driven across Texas.
Well, I've seen it described that way, so I was kind of repeating it because, well, looking it on it at a round globe, it's kind of hard to tell.
Okay, but it's, I mean, Texas, between what? You go to Beaumont, you cross I-10 at Beaumont, it's Texas. Why? It's mile marker 810 or 815. Essentially, it starts about, you know, about 5 miles west of El Paso, and it goes all, you know, it's the interstate that goes all across Texas, and it is, you know, Texas is huge. You know, they say Alaska is what, about 2.5 times the size of Texas, but Texas is huge. Germany isn't huge. I mean, like used to be said, is that all these little towns are less than a kiloton apart, which meant that they were, you know, they were less than, oh, a kilometer or so apart. And Germany is just, you know, Germany, I mean, you know, it's not an expansive place here. They would have all these, it's sort of like just seeing a whole bunch of little bitty, just a little bitty, you know, I mean, I've looked at the landscape in America, and about the only landscape in America which is remotely like how they densely farm Germany, is a few of these here little bitty, mainly Germanic small towns in, you know, in, say, northeast Indiana, or essentially, you know, non-Detroit Michigan, but mainly Indiana. I mean, you know, Germany, they have to take care of their space. They have to take care of their land because they don't have that much of it. And no, that's what they told me, is that Germany, you know, West Germany altogether was what, two-thirds of Oregon. And in the United States, you have a disconnect where, you know, I mean, I've gone through Maryland. I mean, I-95 is what, 12 miles? 12 miles when you're crossing Maryland on I-95? You know, and so you have a little bit more out west here, but Germany is not expansive. It's not nearly the size of Texas. Not here in the side of Texas, but your eastern states like New Jersey. Probably you have about 4 New Jerseys in what, West Germany.
Yeah, the only time I've traveled extensively was when I was in high school, and that was my summer job as a lumper on a truck. Which means I sat in a little tiny space and had this little tiny window and didn't really get to see the country I was traveling through.
Okay. Have you ever been overseas?
Not really. I've been through Canada and whatnot, and I've been into Mexico.
Okay. Well, I've been, let me see, in Western Germany. I haven't been to Ireland, haven't been to Britain, haven't been to Portugal. So, in any case, I've been let me see, I've been to Spain, France, Belgium, Luxembourg. I mean, I've been as far east as Greece on a Euro pass. And that was way back when, well, essentially, you, of course, didn't get to go. You didn't get to go behind the Iron Curtain that we had at the time. Not that I would have been allowed to go because I was in a nuclear missile, battery, but
they'd have been happy to let you in, but you might not. They wouldn't have wanted you to let you go. It's just our side that didn't want you to fall into their hands.
Well, you would have, essentially, if you wanted to take it, you'd have what was called the Hoth Border Tour. And essentially what you would do is that you would get within a kilometer. And you essentially you're looking at these Germans and staring at them, and they're staring at you, and you're getting to see their little fence, their big fence here, and their guard dogs and their mines or something like that. What's funny though is that the lance could fire, usually around 75 miles or so. So we would be aiming at choke points, not Russian front lines, but we would be aiming at choke points to where they'd have to bring up tanks and heavy artillery and, really fighting in many cases is a matter of logistics here. So, we would be targeting choke points, which means that we would be, we were in Bavaria, so we would be firing into East Germany, but also we'd be firing in Czechoslovakia. But what happened is that some of the surveyors, some of the field artillery surveyors, they had this character who was really a motor clerk, but he wanted to really get a MOS to where he could make rank real quick here, because surveying requires a little bit of intelligence. So, it requires mathematics, it requires careful measurement, it requires flight work. Pretty well, your fire direction control are usually the smartest. Everybody had over, except for this nigger we had, we were saddled with. Nigger probably had about 85 IQ, other than criminality, to which he was a genius. But the fire direction control usually had an average IQ of about 120 or so. The field artillery surveyors were usually about 100, about an average of 105, 110, something like that. So they were, you never had to worry about getting accidentally into the border in East Germany because, hey, there's fences. There's, where that border is. But the damn Czechs, what they would do is that they would put their checkpoints about 3 or 4 or 5 miles behind the actual border, and then just let it sort of grow out in fences here. They weren't hard-ass like the Prussians were. And as a result, the surveyors were telling about the time this stupid Sergeant Kivler, they called him Snivler, was giving them a hard time. And what they did is they waited till he fell asleep, and then they pretended that they were on the wrong side of the Czech border, and there was going to be a freaking international incident as a result of it. Told Snivler, went ahead and started crying, and then they told him that they were just playing games with him, in which case he got all mad, and he threatened to tell on him, and essentially he said, well, you want everybody to know you cry like a pussy? when we hit it that you fell asleep, and we hit it that you were on the Czech border. The end of the Berlin Wall occurred occurred that spring when the Czechs pretty well told people they didn't have a problem with them going to Prague, you know, as an Iron Curtain, you know, as an Iron Curtain tourist country. They didn't have a problem with them going to Prague and then from Prague buying a train ticket to Munich. And what happens, that got around, and within 30 days, they lost the cream of their youth real quick. And that was the end. That was the end of the Iron Curtain, because once one country, aka the Czechs, Czechs don't really like the Poles, and they certainly don't like the Germans. And as they look at, screw it. And so they allowed, I think in March or April of 1989, they allowed young German, you know, smart people and their wives and their children to take one of these trips to, say, Prague, and essentially allowed them to go on to on to West Germany. So it used to be when I was there in the early 80s, 1981, 1983, that if you escaped from West Germany, they would give you a job. You would get a job, or you would be somebody who was going to be rehabilitated by the West German government. And pretty well that, you know, them allowing that, you know, pretty well was the end. But anyway, you know, I've been to these countries and parts of Spain. Why they haven't taken very good care of it. It looks a good deal like parts of Texas here toward the central west here. It's not as bad as say around the Pecos, but it can be. You know, it looks a bit like a place which doesn't get a lot of rain or doesn't keep a lot of rain. And so same way with Greece here. And they didn't keep as good control of soil as they did in France and Germany or Belgium or whatever. But you go over from, say, even Missouri or Oklahoma or someplace here. You know, whenever you're in Germany, you get a feeling of claustrophobia. You get a feeling that this place is so damn small, which isn't difficult. You go through a place like Luxembourg, I think it's only 30 miles wide or something like that, or less, something like that. And, you know, or Belgium or Denmark or any place. These places are small. And I don't know how big Europe is, but it wouldn't surprise me if Europe was as big or slightly smaller than Texas here combined. And Germany is not very big at all. So that's how I knew it. I used to, you can go from one state to another on a bicycle in a day, and you can't do that unless you're out east somewhere. So, well, I guess you can in Maryland. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure if you can ride on the, if you're going from north to south here, you can. But you get from Pennsylvania to, where is it? You know, to Virginia.
Well, you have to take your route real careful to go someplace in Maryland, because most of the bridges won't let you on a bicycle.
They won't.
No.
Well, see, you see, out west here, why? Who gives a shit? Who's gonna be watching you to see whether or not you ride on free? You're not supposed to be riding on the interstate, but they have a whole bunch of service roads. You know, service roads. Along Interstate 44. Usually, they have a road which parallels, you know, same way in Texas, something like that. But you go to Europe. Except in a place like, you know, if you're going down up the main railway up in, say, Norway, you know, these fjords and stuff like that, why, they act like choke points here. So you'll have a main road And it's sort of like going up, you know, down up the, what, the Transarctic Road between Alaska and the United States through Canada. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big road and it, you know, pretty well veers off. But, you know, in Europe, you have all these, you know, Europe is, you know, Europe is small. Europe is just, you know, it's very, very, very small. And, you know, you have people taking very good care of their land, especially in Germany, but it's intensively farmed. It's, you know, you don't see any brush in a German forest. There's somebody keeping an eye, it seems like, on about every millimeter of land. And that is not the impression you get in the United States. But yeah, they pretty well told us that West Germany was about the size of 2/3 of Oregon, because, you know, usually American states are, well, most American states are bigger than Germany. You know what I mean? Oregon isn't that particularly big a state. It's sort of, you know, it's sort of, you know, I think Missouri is bigger than Oregon, but, you know, I'm not sure. Washington, I mean, essentially, once you get Iowa, it'd probably be Germany would probably be more like the size of Iowa, and Iowa, you know, and that would be probably the best. That would probably be the best relationship to make it here. Iowa's not, you know, Iowa's not that big, you know, but anyway, that's like you're probably wasting time talking about how big Germany is, but it's nowhere near. No, I don't know if all of Europe is as big. If you take out the inhabited portions of Europe, I would say it's not even as big as Texas.
I've heard a lot of things compared to being about the size of Texas, and I think that's kind of like the saying, "It tastes just like chicken."
Yeah. Okay. It can mean about anything here, even if it doesn't taste like chicken. Or if it tastes like chicken, that must have been, well, Larry Flint's chicken after he sodomized it. After he married it and sodomized it or something.
I've heard someone try and describe snapping turtle as tasting just like chicken.
Well, I've never really wanted to find out one way or the other.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it actually doesn't taste. You can't pin it down. You'll eat a little bit and think it tastes a little bit like pork. You eat a little bit more and you'll think it tastes a little bit like beef. And it's like the, it tastes like something familiar, but you can't quite pin down what it tastes like.
Okay, well.
Okay,
I'll let you get back on your, monologue. But, you know, I'm pretty well looking at. Oh, I started Andre the Niggers. I started looking at other links, and pretty much what I see is, you know, this presidential campaign is dumber even than it was 4 freaking years ago. And they're pointing out is that none of the Republicans, they got 16 candidates, none of them are sounding really anything different. Really, when it comes down to it, even Trump is talking about legal, you know, a path to citizenship for all these damn beaters. And what happens is you got to look is that there's, you know, more like 50 or 60, or I believe there's probably 100 million of them in this country already. And the 12 or 11 million is just bullshit. So, anyway, I'll go ahead and let you go on with your monologue.
All righty, sir. You have the best night you can. Well, I don't have too much longer to go on. It's been a fairly, it's always a busy time. And one of the things I generally don't read is the Daily Stormer. I figure enough people read that as it is. If something actually real good comes out of it, I'm sure somebody will point me in the right direction. Or at least that's my hope. I mainly look up the, I often look at Russia Today, and I just do internet searches on some of the more obscure things that are out there. In our, as everything progresses, I don't predict the future. I don't even try and make any guesses about what will happen in the long term. More and more I see Europe becoming more nationalist than the United States. We're lagging behind. And that's one of the news stories I do have from Yahoo News. Has brought a little bit of light into my life. Italian protesters torch beds to try and block migrant arrivals. Residents in a chic Rome suburb and a northern Italian village staged angry anti-immigrant protests on Friday, with villagers setting mattresses ablaze in a bid to stop authorities from housing migrants. Authorities in the village of Quinto plan to accommodate 101 immigrants in empty apartments, but several residents broke into one of the buildings, removed camp beds, mattresses, and televisions intended for the newcomers, and set them on fire outside. The protesters then put up tents. And they said, "We aren't going home until they leave. This is an invasion." Italy is currently hosting more than 80,000 migrants who have crossed the Mediterranean, fleeing war, persecution, or poverty in the Middle East and Africa. The arrivals include many Africans, especially Mediterraneans, as well as Syrians. Oh, those poor people. But I'll post a link to that give me a sort of a feel-good story. Nice to know someone is protesting some of that. And I pretty much expect to see, more of that go on in Europe. How much of it translates into the United States, I don't know. This system we're under basically took its biggest nest in the United States. And that's where it's been for a very long time. Their unholy trinity in the United States. They do have London as well, but in the United States, Washington, D.C., New York, and Hollywood. Propaganda, money manipulation, and the world's most extravagant liars, all rolled into one bunch. And speaking of liars, I have a story from the Mail Online. And Well, the story speaks for itself. This is how you get paid back, apparently. Jewish peer funds rescue of thousands of Christians threatened by ISIS. Lord Winfield, 95, says project in Syria and Iraq is a way of repaying his debt to British Quakers who helped him flee the Nazis. A Jewish peer who escaped Nazi-occupied Australia with the help of British Christians is funding the rescue of 2,000 Christians from ISIS-held areas in Syria and Iraq as a way of repaying his debts. Lord Winfield was a penniless five-year-old when British Quakers and other Christians fed and clothed him and helped him reach the UK in 1938, just 1 year before the Second World War. Well, we all know what kind of Christians he's bringing into these countries. Yeah. He's bringing every non-whitey kin into the country. And those Judeo-Christians will fall for it. Of course, it may be a little bit of a geezer in me, but I can remember at least when most Christians who sat in the pews weren't Judeo-Christians. A lot of them were certainly wavering. But they hadn't quite converted to being as bad as they are. Today, they're quite as bad as they are. Every bit. And one of the things I've found, I haven't fully read it yet, was that I found some of HUD's works and their reasoning in their new authorization for making sure that they find those pockets of white people to bring diversity. It seems to be based, as best as I can read their lingo, in the fact that white people are fleeing their diversity from cities. And that sounds just about right. They're fleeing, practicing white flight, basically, and they're going to chase them down. They're going to sue areas that resist becoming less white. I don't have a link to that handy, but their little regulation, I'm sure, going to be a boring read to figure out exactly all the twists and turns it takes. And I doubt that I'm going to get the 100% of the message they're trying to hide with their little legal shenanigans. But that seems to be the general impression I've gotten from what I've read so far is that they're chasing down a little bit of white flight. Never a good thing. Well, it's a little after 10 o'clock. And I'm going to go ahead and wish everybody a good night so I can slip off to bed. I have a early morning to start with. And ten o'clock for the respectable conservatives. On nights when I'm not listening to the radio, I'm in bed well before 10 o'clock. I'm one of those old folks. Well, everyone have a good white night. Thank you all for listening.
Just a little white boy, albeit meaning some harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the song since the day he was born. Entering the church, shooting them coons. Someday the needle will get him, cause the song always will. Starting a race war, the only way he knows how. That's just a little bit more than the Jews will allow. Just a brave white boy, wouldn't change if he could. Fighting the Zog like an anti-Jew, hate Robin Hood.
Heck, even old Uncle Tom, why, he doesn't like talk of apocalyptics, but, apocalypse, but, you know, shoot. Why, heck, once you realize that, things are the way they are, why, you immediately start thinking of apocalyptic terms. I'm looking at this here, liberal conservative. He's yapping. You know, I went ahead and read it. I mean, essentially, they're whining. These supporters of the PAC. You know, especially Jeb Bush and the rest of the tards. Oh, heck. Okay, NewsKike is on. Okay. I went ahead and for my Christian-Identity webpage, I bought 3 more years of hosting today. And I went ahead and renewed Finkelshinia.us here. So, let me go ahead and save. Go ahead and save the Finkelshinia chat. We'll go see what Eliar has to say. Old chattering Ed Clan of Mamsers. Maybe he got done with the liars. Chattering Ed, insult my dignity, won't listen to this goofus. Why, no. Ed Chattering Clan of Mamsers, you really need to go ahead and stick your tail between your legs and see if the little point here won't reach into your mangina here and tickle it a little bit. That's what you need to do. You need to start your show again so you can bore the crap out of everybody, you tard. This character, he'd be a conservative if he had any pussy. He's gonna run off because I've insulted his mangina. Okay, well, that's it. He goes to any white like pussy, but he doesn't leave here. That's what you get with old Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, I mean, you know it's pathetic when even a tard like Mitch Boobros thinks that Ed Shattering Clown Masters is a bigger tard. I mean, that is fucktardivity first class here. Let's see if old Mr. Ed. Go over and see if Mr. Not Mr. Ed. Let's see. We'll assault you if you're tired. Yes, by all means here. like petting my dog. Well, hey. Well, what, look, Mr. Ed, you need to go from heavy petting to actual fornication with your dog. Old Ed, he's going to go from heavy petting his dog to actual outright fornication with his dog. You do got to laugh. You got to laugh at a tard like Ed, you know what I mean? Oh, he's left the chat. Well, I'm glad to see that he's going to go past heavy petting with his dog tonight. Okay, let's see if Eli is up here. No, yep, Eli, he's gone too. Eli's gone. Second Esdras part 4 and Damascus document. So let's see. He was on for an hour 18. So hey, he got done about 5 or 10 minutes ago. Blessed are the peace mamsers. You should be fucking the blob. Well, I don't know about fucking her here. You know, it's probably about time to wipe her ass though here, and essentially get her on her feet here and change the bedding. How's that? Let's see. Without internet? Well, that's good here. That's good. Truth Historian? I don't know if this is a... does Truth Historian have a talk show show? Folks, you have a few Nimbuster tards here. They live to troll. And I wanted to point out that... before there was an Andre the Nigger, before there was an Andre the Nigger, or more like the case back in the days when he was an anti-racist activist humping these gookuses and, sex touristing these 12 and 13 year old gookuses. I mean, I was feeding the trolls. I was having a tard corral, I was running a tard corral for trolls over on my TalkStream page. I was feeding the trolls. I really was here. I would like to say is that, hey, it's sort of like, when you have an enemy here, you go ahead and you pick up some cockroaches somewhere or some fire ants or something like that, and you send it over to his house or his place here so that they will have cockroaches or something like that. I would like to thank myself for being troll friendly. I'd like to thank myself for essentially enabling and empowering internet trolls. Now, you gotta realize is Nimbuster tards, they have no respect for themselves and certainly not for anybody, including me here. They have a little bit of respect for me because I feed them. You know what I mean? Now of course, that's sort of like feeding hungry alligators here. You know what I mean? They don't really mind here, taking off a finger or two here while they're going after the frozen dead rats here that you're waving underneath their snouts here. But, in any case here, a great list of you. Oh yeah, Coontown is still on Reddit here. So yeah, he was on tonight here. Folks, I can't unmute. I don't own this here. Okay? So yeah, Tom's not here to unmute you here. I was just simply giving myself credit for feeding trolls. I was over at Andre the Nigger, and you have Obi Genderbender. Obi Genderbender has another podcast tonight. You know, just come up with a kite cast, and the critter went over to, went over to Andre the Niggers and flogged its codcast. So I may go ahead and look at Obagender Bender's codcast tonight. You know what I mean? Yep. What happens, I wouldn't have minded Ed chattering Clan of Mamsers to abuse the goofy bastard. But he remembered he had to, well, he had to go past heavy petting for his dog. He had to actually go ahead and, well, I'm not sure. Maybe he's a cuck too here. Obagender Bender. Yeah, old Obagender Bender. Sanctimony. He's afraid of me here. You know what I mean? So, any case, just decided to let some of you tards, have a little extra here. Essentially, sort of like a movement fart. You know, you like the movement turd? Well, this is more like a movement fart here, but sort of like a dry fart, though. Okay? Yeah, Ed's chattering text. Tards, just want to have fun. Yes, you tards, just want to have fun. That's all you trolls do want. It's some fun. Folks, it's a pity Unic isn't here. I mean, if Unic could go ahead and come up with a few covers here, and maybe some of you could suggest a few parody songs here, like Tards or Trolls Just Want to Have Fun. Oh, trolls just want to, that's all they really want, is some fun. I mean, trolling, really, when it comes down to it here, this, you know, the old media, which gets on the internet, it's pretty well dying. It's just suffered gangrene from essentially the shit they used to pull here. You know, I'm essentially censoring people. And I remember, we got to where people like me says, well, I'm not going to pay for this shit. If I'm going to be lied to, at least I'm not going to pay for this shit. So we didn't get a newspaper subscription or nothing. Now we have the internet. And, folks, I was one of the first to embrace the internet, you know, in order to express my internet here, or my outer nut. And so, actually, I've probably kept up my webpage more than old Don Black has kept up his, and Alex Slender kept up his here once they got V-Bulletin. V-Bulletin is pretty well on the way out. Now it's the WordPress blog. When I was talking to DreamHost this afternoon, well, I could have a rather cheap, you know, hosting here, but I have to buy it for 10 years. So I decided the 3 years, you know, would take about $3 off a month here. So from $9 to $7, you know, for 3 years a month. So that'll give me an extra year or so. So anyway, for about the same price as buying it 1 year at a time. So, any case, old Flush Rimblow was even actually talking about cucks. Flush Rimblow, Flush Rimblow, on the cutting edge of society. It is Flush Rimblow of EIB, Aries Syphilis and Broadcasting. Flush Rimblow, Flush Rimblow. I don't have any writers here. I'm not like that Jew John Stewart or that Jew Bale Fink or that Jew Eli or James. I don't have any writers. I have to make this shit up all on my own. Okay? Okay. Oh, okay. Has he asserted himself as the head of the new, you know, Miss Angelo Gay sounds like a WAP here. I've looked at Chimebach. That's a good name for him. He does look sort of like, you know, he looks more like an Orthodox or Greek, though. He looks more like a mongrel. But he might be a Jew boy. I don't know here. I mean, it would just, that's why. I'm really looking forward. I'm really curious as to what. Let me see. Do a countdown. How many freaking, let me see, October 7th. Let's see, August, September, October. It is two months, and 7 days till the return of Hal Turner. I really need to go ahead and make a really mean parody song about old Hal. Although Zog will fuck you up is sort of mean here. There was some dork named Hal. It should say, there was some kike named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened Judges 3, a jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So he was gonna be my dick squigger, bitch. Zog will fuck you up. That was one of my first parody songs here. Maybe old Hal has enough of a sense of humor to play that here. I mean, folks, you know, drop whatever the fuck you are doing. Hal Turner is, essentially this is going to be must listen to Zog Bottery. I mean, let me see. It is Thursday. Hell, I may have to change my show, you know, the movement turned to Wednesday or Friday night or something like that here. Whatever. Folks, I will be listening. I will be listening with all you other fucktards, including Mona Montgomery. Mona Montgomery, come. I will be listening to Hal Turner. And really, this will be better than when Booby came back. When Booby came back, from the dead. You know, and essentially it was all a dream sequence, you know. I mean, either that or he was hiding behind, Victoria Principal's, BMW fender wall for about a year or so here. You know, you remember the dream sequence, how it was as good? Folks, I am going to be listening Thursday, October 1st. Yeah. You have a couple, well, folks, I will do my best, you know. I will be listening Thursday, October. No, fuck, it's Wednesday. Oh, hell, that's good. Oh, hell, folks, I don't have to worry about it. Dan Johns is going to have to worry about it. Fuck, October 7th is fucking Wednesday. I was looking at the wrong bang here. Hell, movement turn can continue. Well, something to talk about here. So, October 7th. That's a Wednesday. Hey! You know, as Trader Glenn Miller would say, Old Glory Day! Okay, like a poopy dog after a flea bath. Well, no, poopy dog is not excited. Poopy dog is not excited after a flea bath. What happens is that shit, that little bastard hates, you know, having his little personal jumping livestock separated from him. I mean, Poopy Dog, you know, he is a little black bastard, but he loves water as much as a nigger does. Now, have you ever noticed that niggers, you know, niggers, since they have the biggest, you know, they have the biggest, thickest groin bones here. I don't know if you ever watched Survivor. I've watched Survivor. I mean, I go ahead and look at my, you know, degree in wiggerology and degree, you know, further work, postdoctoral work on my degree in wiggerology and mamsorology and zoology. I look at Survivor. And folks, you know, there's never, you know, niggers are the worst swimmers. No shit. Occasionally, you know, a nigger will go ahead and admit they took, you know, he went ahead and he bought a 30-day subscription to the YMCA to essentially try to learn how to swim. But no, I mean, if it comes to swimming, usually lean white men are best. You know, followed by deliciously curvaceous here little wigresses. You know, heck, even them fat girls here. Them fat girls, while they may not be that good swimming, but they, you know, I mean, they float. You know, that's what I found out about with Roxy and Fat Ass and Tamster the Hamster, who was Fat Ass's first cousin. You know, them fat white girls, they may not know how to swim, but they sure as fuck can float. No shit. Any case here. let's see here. any case here. Who can't swim? It's retarded. Well, I don't know. When I was younger, I was a hell of a swimmer. But I never really was very good at floating. Because really, I didn't have that much body fat when I was, when I was younger here, didn't have that much body fat here. You know, man, I'm just a muscle-bound Swede. Now, I could swim pretty good here. But I really wasn't that good at floating. Now, Roxy, she ain't very good at swimming. But hell, you know, that hip of mine, I mean, she will float on top like a fucking grease pot. Okay? So, in any case. McDonald's? What I do is I order the triple cheeseburger. That's where you get the most meat for the buck. Triple cheeseburger. Now they're up to, you know, they used to be $2 here. Now they're $2.19. I do get, but what happens is I don't eat the cheeseburgers 2 hours before I go to bed because I've been known to get Swedish toe gains, aka gout. So you don't want to eat beans or, you know, red meat 2 hours before you go to bed. Because shit, let me just tell you, when you get that gout in your big toe, I mean, you can't even put a fucking sheet on top of your damn big toe here. You just want to lay there and say, oh my God, please Yahweh, blast this foot off. You know, you just want to blast that foot off here. You know what I mean? It really sucks. It really does. Okay, so folks, he wants to retire. In case, well, yeah, I'm hoping he is here. Okay, well, Toucan, let me see. I'm sort of retired now, but hey, I'm going to wish you luck on your retirement. And folks, well, hell, I don't know. I need to go ahead and take care of Roxy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory, and maybe in a half hour. Maybe I'll go ahead and come back and entertain you tarts. You know, I'm recording this, of course. All right? Big joke. Anyway, folks, we will be back. I need to take care of Roxy. I need to change her bedding. And essentially, we'll be maybe back in a half hour or so. Hail Victory.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men go, revolt, ho, our down the city route, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrieleis, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrieleis. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. Four white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sawsling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gospel. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.